And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, so you know the deal. Every once in a while, I start collecting up my resourcing for Dippers, and I realize how much news there is right here at home. And so what do? We put together a whole segment we call Home Fries, and this is going to be the second time this week we've had to do it, so that means I call it Home Fries, Second Helping. Sizzle it up there, Boomer. Fry up some home fries. That is not fake meat cooking, by the way. No, that's taters. That's taters in the pan. All right, I gotta jump in real quick on a case that, even though we're not one of them, I'm kind of segueing off that last section we just did about the Supreme Court of the United States and all the decisions that are coming. There's one more that's out there that I believe that Alabama is a party to. It says six Republican-led states, Washington Examiner, by the way. Washington Examiner, Dateline yesterday, six Republican-led states, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, Arkansas, Kansas, South Carolina, but I'm almost positive that we filed at least an amicus brief in this case. Those six states have asked the justices of the Supreme Court to block the Biden administration's student loan forgiveness program. The states argue that President Joe Biden exceeded his legal authority when he implemented the program last August to cancel up to $20,000 in debt for people holding federal loans. So that is one of those decisions. We didn't get a chance to talk about it with Matt Clark. That's one of those decisions that's still dangling. We don't know yet what they're going to do. The question now is, and here's a thing to think about. So one of the rulings that came out today says that Texas and Louisiana did not have adequate standing to bring suit over the fact that the executive branch is picking and choosing who they will detain at the southern border. So when the executive branch does its version of triage and says, we'll take that one. We'll let that 20 go. We'll take that one. We'll let that 30 go. The state of Texas and Louisiana were like, what the heck? You can't keep doing that because the 20s and 30s you let go, we're having to pick up. But the Supreme Court said no standing. It was an executive branch decision. Now the question is, if that's the way they leaned in that case, does that in some way affect the student loan forgiveness case that Alabama also has an interest in? Because the states are saying, hey, federal government, you can't just pick and choose. You can't just say, we're going to forgive those loans and not forgive everybody's loans. And oh, by the way, we can't just forgive debts because that also impacts the bottom line of the states. We'll see. That one's still dangling. I don't know what's going to wind up happening. I mean, at some point, you almost get to where you can't predict anymore. But that one is still dangling with the Supreme Court of the United States. What's going to happen with student loan forgiveness? Well, I can tell you, too, by the way, apparently the Congress is already saying we're getting busy because we don't know what the Supreme Court's going to do. They're trying to pass a law just to go ahead and ban that opportunity for the Biden administration to do that. All right, home fries. Here's another one. You ready? Change the subject totally. So gambling in this state has been a conundrum for decades. I can tell you that some of the most maddening moments in Montgomery when I was down there centered around the gambling interests' never-ending attempt to try and get legislation written in their favor. For those who are not familiar, the term paramutual betting basically means casino-style gambling is not taking place in Alabama under our existing law. There are things that can. We have, you know, green track and victory land where you can have greyhound and horse racing and that kind of stuff. But you're not supposed to have slot machines. You're not supposed to have table gaming. You're not supposed to have it. Well, okay. Well, let's have a lottery. How about a lottery? Can we do a lottery? Can we get a lottery? Except that every time, all y'all that wonder what the deal is with a lottery, I will tell you this. The casinos kill the lottery bill every year. Why? Because they are determined. They will have their lobbyists working left and right. They'll be trying to get in there. And that we even found out some years back that Milton McGregor had been bribing or paying, let's say, paying a member of the staff who helps write the bills for legislators to insert certain words that he could use in court later on to argue that a lottery bill gave him a right to open a casino. What? I mean, listen, y'all, I'm going to tell you. When you get down there and they're running the bill, if the bill has a may versus a shall, that changes the whole dynamic of the bill. If the bill has a word missing, that can change the whole dynamic of the bill. Well, somebody paying the staff to fix things for them, that can be an impressively bad situation. All right, what are we going to do this year? Because the last time they ran a gambling bill, you talk about a debacle. Not that I'm for gambling anyway. I mean, Lord, is it really that hard just to drive to Mississippi? Do we have to have one in Fort Payne? Do we have to have one in Montgomery? Well, I mean, is it really that hard to drive to a casino? But that being said, they bring so much crap with them that there's been a resistance in the state of Alabama to opening more casino action in the state. And I believe rightfully so. But that being said, they're going to do it again. They're going to consider it again. Story on 1819 News dated 3 days ago. Representative Andy Witt, Republican from Harvest, says that there will be legislation, he believes, to consider this once again. The last time they ran this bill, y'all, they took all the casinos who had been operating for years and being raided because they were constantly violating the law. Because there were millions to be made between raids. It was worth it to them. How do we do it? I don't know. Break the law again. Let's just run up the millions, get some money while we can. Oh, we got to pay the lawyers. Okay. And the attorney general raided again. And then there's been a significant lack of enforcement here of late, although AG Steve Marshall has been cracking down here most recently. But those same lawbreakers, like right now, the owners of Green Track, we are told, owe the state of Alabama something like, was it $24 million in back taxes that they haven't paid? So tax cheats and violation of gambling laws, having to be raided constantly by our state officials. And then, lo and behold, the last time they ran a bill in Montgomery a couple of years ago, the goal was to take all of those casinos and create monopolies for them. Actually put their names in the state constitution as those that are allowed to have full-on casino gaming. Have you ever seen a time when Republicans said, we intend to create monopolies, and we intend to embed the names? This would be like Publix having its name embedded in the Constitution as the only grocery store allowed to have a store in the city of Montgomery. That's what we're talking about. Is that the free market? Friggin' no! And yet they were trying. 1819 News, June 20th. Earlier this month, the Alabama legislature concluded this business without addressing gambling this in the state. Gambling continues to be a topic of strenuous debate among lawmakers and their constituents. While bills to address gambling have historically originated in the Senate, support in the House of Representatives has always been the sticking point. With new leadership in the House under Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter, an effort is underway to study and address the logistics of implementing a state lottery or possibly a new gaming package. So Representative Witt said, this committee was entrusted to study the gaming practices that are currently taking place here in our state, whether legal or illegal. As legislators, it's our job to regulate gaming that is taking place, but we fail year after year. Let me correct one thing, Representative Witt. Your job is to regulate gaming that exists lawfully. There is no regulation of that which exists unlawfully. If it's unlawful, you use law enforcement to just stop it. So we're looking at multiple ideas for bringing forth a good piece of passable legislation for our members to vote on. This is my goal. I think we can get there. So Representative Andy Witt from Harvest is all in on the idea of getting some gaming going. We need more. We need more gaming. You know, Governor Ivey said, well, gaming already exists in Alabama. We just need to make it legal so we can tax it. I paraphrase slightly, but that's pretty much what she said. So I'm just telling you, folks, home fries. If you're one of those who, like me, believes that we don't need more casinos in this state and the bad actors who've been breaking our laws for years and flaunting it in our faces should not be given the opportunity to continue to do so, then keep your eyes open, because I smell a special session. Truthfully, I do. I smell a special session on gaming. And believe me, the gaming interests are going to throw millions at it. And then it will require a constitutional amendment, which means y'all will get a chance to vote on it. And they will throw millions at that messaging. So you keep your eyes open. It's coming. You can smell that one a mile away. All right, tell you what, Boom, take a break about a minute and a half earlier than usual. We'll take that break, come right back. We're in Home Fries, second helping. Got some news about the rocket. We'll talk about that. What's Tuberville been up to with the DOD? We'll talk about that. Got several things laid on. And then Senator Katie Britt putting Space Command spending in the defense budget. We'll talk about that. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, cooking up a little bit of home fries and a second helping for the week. I told you ahead of time I was going to do that.
Yeah, but I got to fade out the bumper music.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. I was just so excited to hear the home fries cooking. I didn't know what was. All right. All right. Anyway. Hey, yeah, we're cooking up some home fries right now. Next one. Let's pick this one. 1819 News again has a story. Tuberville just introduced a bill to prevent a state's abortion laws from being used against it in criteria for federal basing. So I know you guys are all familiar with Space Command and what is happening out there. There's no way in the world that the Biden administration can hide behind this delay much longer. I mean, there's zero reason other than politics to have not made this decision. So the city of Huntsville has won multiple times, has been proven time and again to be the top choice to locate Space Command, and yet the Biden administration is pulling back. Ostensibly, it's believed, reports are, I think, in the Wall Street Journal or New York Times, that it's being sort of retooled because we are a pro-life state. Well, Tommy Tuberville's having none of it. By the way, confirmed today that Tuberville will be on the show next Tuesday. But Tommy Tuberville's having none of it. He's just drafted legislation in response to that that would prevent states from having federal or basing decisions made on anything but merit. In other words, political decisions like whether or not you're an abortion state or not have no business being considered. Here's his quote. Federal building and basing decisions should be based on merit, not on a partisan political agenda. Punishing conservative Americans by keeping federal property out of their states would be an extreme and vindictive move, even for this extremist administration. But Alabamians know Joe Biden is considering doing just that with Spacecom headquarters, and that would set a dangerous precedent. So how is Biden going to cast that? If he were to actually change direction, what would he say? Well, I've decided that Colorado is best. Why? Every study said it wasn't. It was number 4 on the list. Why? Why is it better? Well, I just feel good about it. Why? Why do you feel good about it? I mean, what's he going to say? Well, I feel like it's about abortion. Is that going to fly? I mean, is that going to work? I have no idea how the Biden administration really expects to make this work. As I choke on my words. Wow. Thank you, Boomer.
Man, you got the coughs over there.
Apparently I swallowed some fake meat.
That's what it was. You're eating a little bit of that fake meat before jumped back on.
I must have inhaled some cricket powder. Holy cow. Anyway, yeah, so Tommy Tuberville introduced legislation. We'll see where it goes. In the meantime, tackling this from a variety of different angles, Senator Katie Britt has come out right now and said that she's putting a basing decision and a construction basing decision into the NDAA from the Senate side. You remember Mike Rogers, Congressman Rogers, did the same thing. he and Congressman Aderholt collaborated to make sure that they froze all spending on any new facilities being built in Colorado for Space Command until the decision is made. In the meantime, Katie Britt says it's far past time for the Pentagon to announce a final basing decision on the permanent location for Space Command. Time and again, objective analysis confirmed Redstone Arsenal as the best location. And this was report language. She said, we can help ensure politics is kept out of the process. So what her report requirement does is it says that any new construction in Colorado for the military for Space Command has to be given in a report in writing to the legislature and related committees. In other words, they can't just do it, hey, don't tell anybody, we got a new building going up tomorrow. They can't start realigning their assets to do things that would indicate that they're trying to create permanent basing. Not going to happen. Speaking of rockets, while we're in home fries, while I'm not choking now, while we're in home fries, the rocket out there at the rest stop, I'm switching gears on us, Boomer, save the rocket. It's getting more difficult. I'm just going to go ahead and suggest that, like our friend Steve Thornton's been on the show here multiple times. He cited in this AL.com article, dated yesterday, rocket at the Alabama Welcome Center appears doomed after a vote. I mean, AL.com didn't want it anyway. AL.com's articles always lean towards, take it down!
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah. Anyway, Paul Gaddis, writing for AL.com yesterday, says it appears the NASA rocket located at the North Alabama Welcome Center on I-65 is going to be dismantled and removed despite efforts to save it. NASA has directed the Space and Rocket Center to go ahead and take it down. However, it points out, a group seeking to save the rocket has not surrendered. Steve Thornton, CEO of Montesano Research in Huntsville, and a leader of that group who's been on this show, two or three times, said support from Governor Kay Ivey is being pursued and noted that the Alabama Attorney General's office has not yet signed off on dismantling the rocket. Because remember, we have a Monument Protection Act, and that is not a racist thing. That is to protect our history, part of which could be this rocket. The requirement being that it has to have stood on state property for at least 40 years. It's been there for 44 years. Well, the Attorney General's office has yet to render a ruling on this. They need an AG opinion to come out to tell us what's what. Here's what I think is going to have to happen. I think that interested parties, whether it be Steve Thornton or somebody else, is going to have to file suit. I think you file suit on this and you ask for what's called a declaratory judgment. And you say, hey, court, does this qualify for monument protection or does it not? If the court will render a ruling, in the meantime, you also ask the court to enjoin the dismantling of the rocket, to enjoin it, to put an injunction in place. It's a preliminary injunction that says, until we find out whether or not this qualifies, don't let them start unbolting the sides of this rocket and taking it down. I think that's what has to happen. I'm for it. I say save the rocket. All right, listen, coming up here after the top of the hour, we're going to be with our friend Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute talking about home fries, a second helping. And I see the text lines have blown up again. So, you know what? I think we'd had maybe one text during the SCOTUS.
Yeah, SCOTUS maybe block. Just one, surprisingly.
But now I've got like a stack of them.
Well, there's a few people just saying, Phil, are you okay? Take a minute.
I inhaled the cricket powder. I didn't know what.
That's what it was.
By the way. My eyes were watering and everything.
What do you think Stephanie Smith's stance is on this meat dilemma?
We're going to find out.
I'm going to spring that on
I'm
her.
Going to tell you right now, when she calls in, I'm going to ask her right off. I want to know, Stephanie Smith, you're the head of the Policy Institute. Would you or would you not eat a lab-grown slab of pork meat? I just want to know. The world needs to know. Pray tell, what would she do? We'll find out. Phil Williams, not joking. We'll be right back.